Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin in verse 24 of Matthew 27. The Word of God says this: "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that we would dig deep within our hearts today, and that your Spirit would come and dig deep, Father, so that we might found our entire lives, our entire beings, upon the person of Jesus Christ. Father, bring healing to those that are hurting. Bring victory to those who are struggling. Bring salvation to those who are lost. We do pray for the members of our church that are not here this morning, for those that are traveling, keep them safe. For the Von Eschers, as they minister to those with special needs, Father, up in Tennessee, keep them safe. Bless their time of ministry. For Gary, Father, with the store and the fire there, we'd ask that you would just be gracious there. We'd ask, Lord, that you would speak. Father, remove all excuses. Humble us before you, that we might see ourselves for who we truly are. For in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I heard a tragic story on the news several months ago, and it was of a young lady who, over in the Netherlands, where they have, they call it euthanasia, but basically where they can kill you and call it medical care, who had been molested as a child, had been through every single psychiatrist they had to offer, every single psychiatric drug there was, and yet became worse and worse and worse and worse, so much so that she tried to commit suicide a couple times. And so they concluded that the solution to this woman was to help her commit suicide finally, and so they euthanized this young lady. They helped her commit suicide, and she was around 21, 22 years of age. She had been hurt, damaged, and broken by someone else. Yet no person, no doctor, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no medicine, no therapy, no counseling could help her. You see, what we are looking at is the disease of the soul, and how Jesus Christ heals the innermost parts of our being. And if we are not careful, we can want the microwave fast food cure. And that is, everybody wants the, it'll only take 5 minutes of your time. Just read this, pray this prayer, take this pill, and all your problems will go away. We don't like to dig deep into the very depths of our soul, to the pain and suffering that we've experienced within our lives. Yet Jesus, in Matthew 7, speaks of the foolish man who builds his house on sand. You know, it's very easy to build a house without digging a foundation. It goes very quickly, but it doesn't last. And one of the reasons so many people have such a shallow faith in Christ is just that, it's shallow. And one of the reasons they fall so quickly into sin is because they have not taken the time to allow the Spirit of God to dig deep into their lives, dig deep into their souls, so that their very being would be founded upon Jesus Christ. You see, it's very tempting after we looked at last week, say, okay, I got a problem, just give me the pill, I'll take care of it. Just tell me what to do, tell me what to say. I remember hearing Leonard Ravenhill, and he was talking about how preachers today say, you know, just give me 5 minutes of your time. Give me 5 minutes of your time. And he told a story of a lady, and I don't remember who it was, some famous missionary lady. And he said when she led people to the Lord, that sometimes she would make them on their knees confess their sins for over 4 hours. And sometimes after confessing their sins for 2 or 3 hours, they'd say, "You're not done yet. Keep confessing." And he showed the contrast there. The one who says, "Just bow your head, close your eyes, repeat after me." And the other who goes deep down into the sinful recesses of the heart, deep down to the pain and suffering and brokenness that someone has experienced. Jesus Christ did not come to gloss over all the sin and brokenness that is your life. He came to heal the very depths of it. And what we are going to be looking at today is we are going to dig even deeper into painful memories from your own life. But more honestly, what we're going to look at is pride. You say, how does brokenness and pain and rape and pride all go together with sin and victory in Christ? Notice this in Proverbs 16:18. If you would get the sheet out of your bulletin, it has the scriptures we're going to be going over. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, we always have a tendency to look at this one way, and I want us to look at it this morning backwards. We always have a tendency to look at it this way. If you're arrogant, it's just a moment, just a matter of time until you fall flat on your face. I would submit that you can have the exact opposite out of this, and that is this. If you ever fall flat on your face, it's because you're arrogant. That which precedes your fall into sin is pride. That which precedes you losing your temper, you going off in lust, getting drunk, is pride. And the beginning of every single sin in your life is pride. That is its beginning point. You see, we don't tend to look at it that way. We tend to view sin as something that comes from outside of us, not beginning with our arrogance, with our own pride. You see, pride is refusing to see yourself as who you really are. Pride is an inflated view of self. Pride views yourself to be better than what you really are. And what happens with pride is we have a tendency to blame others, to blame circumstances, to blame upbringing, to blame inanimate objects, to blame other people for our sin issue. The reason I lost my temper is because my kids, The reason I yelled and screamed and cussed him out is because he, The reason I have these control issues is because, The reason I lust is because she wears such. Is not this is the way we operate, is it not? We have a reason for our sin that is everything except us. The reason we lie is because our parents are so strict. The reason we steal is because we were raised in poverty. The reason we're a glutton is we were raised where their food was scarce, and now we overcompensate for it. We have reasons for everything. But according to Scripture, the reason you sin is because you sin. It is not someone else's fault. It is not something else. And until you humble yourself and look directly in the mirror, you will never find salvation, you will never find healing, and you will never find victory and freedom from sin. You see, if someone else or something else is the problem, then the solution lies with that person, not with Christ. Makes sense, right? If alcohol is the reason you get drunk, then we just need to pass a constitutional amendment to ban alcohol from our country, and then no one will ever get drunk anymore. No, that didn't work. We tried it. Well, the problem with me and my desire to get high is marijuana. Let's ban marijuana. That didn't work either. You see, what you're doing is you're making an excuse for your sin. You say, okay, well, wait a minute. Well, we're not talking about, let's do, My parents got divorced when I was young, and it was a very traumatic experience. I was assaulted. I lost a loved one. My husband abandoned me. My wife abused me. My parents beat me. I had a stepdad. I was raised in poverty. Broken home. Yada, 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 yada. Daddy issues. Mommy issues. Family issues. I came out of a cult. You name it. I've heard it all. But there's one problem with that line of thinking. Read Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are. The word tempted there also means tried. Yet, without sin. Well, the reason I struggle with this sin is I was raised and I had a stepdad that was sinful. Oh yeah, so did Jesus. The reason that I do this is because someone abused me. What about Jesus? The reason I'm this way is someone abandoned me and stabbed me in the back. What about Jesus? Well, because of the upbringing that I had. What about Jesus? You see, Jesus understands all the pain that you have been through. He understands the abuse. He understands the abandonment. He understands the hurts. He understands the brokenness. He understands all that has been perpetrated upon you because He has been through it Himself, yet He was able to handle it without the vices, the crutches, the control issues, the temper issues that we struggle with. You see, we have a tendency to look at a young man who's got temper issues and we say, well, he came from a broken home. We look and see a young lady who's dressed immodestly and we say, well, she's got daddy issues. She just wants the attention of a man. We look in the mirror and we say, well, the reason I do this is because the way my parents raised me. Because I came out of an abusive relationship. Because I came out of this, came out of that, came out of this, came out of that. And the Bible doesn't minimize abuse. Please understand that. It doesn't minimize it. It doesn't sweep it away. Jesus, we read in Isaiah, came to bear our griefs and our sorrows. He experienced the pain, the suffering, the abuse, the negligence, the abandonment. He experienced every bit of it. That's why we have a high priest who understands how to find healing, but also how to overcome those vices, those sins, those patterns of behavior. Because even though Jesus Christ went through the same thing, He never exhibited the same actions. So what does the author of Hebrews tell us in verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We must come to Jesus Christ, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have to come to Jesus Christ for healing. If you remember what we closed with last week is Jesus talking about Jerusalem, saying that He would have healed them, but they wouldn't come to Him. And one of the reasons we do not find peace and rest for our souls, and one of the reasons we do not find healing and victory over sin, is because we want to bring someone else before God for God to fix them or God to blast them. If my dad would just change, I wouldn't have any more issues. If God would have just fixed this, fixed my spouse, fixed my kids, fixed my parents, I would not have these issues. If God would just change the church, if God would just change who's president, if God would just change the law, if God would just change... And what you're doing is you're bringing everyone else before the throne of grace except yourself. It's kind of like the idea, have you ever read the phrase that bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies? That's the way we are in our pride. We bring someone else before God hoping that will heal us. You can't send your wife to the doctor so you be healed. You have to come yourself. And the problem is that we project our behaviors and our sins. And we say, I'm a product of my upbringing. I'm a product of my past. the reason I have these insecurities and all of these things is because of what people did to me. Can I tell you something? When there's weeds in a field, the rain and the sunshine didn't cause the weeds. The seeds were already there. The rain and the sunshine just brought them to the surface. Yes, broken homes, abusive relationships, traumatic events, loss of loved ones. Yes, those things can bring to the surface the disease of your soul. But they are not the cause. The cause is the sin deep within. That is why in James 4, verse 6, it says, "But he," this is talking about God, "gives more grace. Wherefore," he says, "God resist the proud, but gives grace to the humble." If you want healing, if you want victory, if you want God's grace, if you want peace and rest for your soul, you must come yourself without the excuses, without blaming others, and deal with yourself. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 7. "Why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? How will you say to your brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye'? You hypocrite. First cast the beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye." What does Jesus say? Quit blaming your spouse. Look in the mirror. Now, does Jesus say that the other person hasn't sinned? No. Listen, I had an opportunity several months ago to talk with some young people who had some very, very broken backgrounds. Is it a place where people who don't want their kids just drop them off and leave them? Okay, we're talking 12-year-old kids. Their parents say, "I can't handle you, don't want you anymore." It's a place in Gainesville. They just drop their kids off and leave them. Now, you talk about a child that has issues. Many of these kids have been abused, definitely have been abandoned and neglected. These are broken kids. And the illustration I use with them, I want to use here. If I was to take a bulldozer to your nice car outside, and I was just to smash the front end, I mean, where the wheels are completely out of alignment, it's just completely messed up, and then I was to crawl under it and cut the brake lines, now let me ask you, is that your fault that your car was damaged? No. But what happens if you get in that car and crank it up? You are going to smash other people. You are going to smash yourself. You are going to get in a wreck. You may kill yourself. You may kill someone else. At the very least, all you're going to do is further damage the vehicle and cause even greater harm to yourself and others. That is what we're talking about today. Yes, you may have been hurt. Yes, you may have a horrible childhood. Yes, you may have come out of a cult. Yes, you may have all of these things that have been inflicted upon you, traumatic events. You've been assaulted. You've been molested. Yes, those things are real. However, if you get in the car that is your life and keep driving, things will not get better. Okay, this is the woman at the well. Well, she has issues, right? So she gets married in hopes that that man fixes her issues. Does she? No, because the man's not her issue. So you know, she smashes that marriage and gets married again. Smashes that marriage and gets married again. Smashes that marriage and gets married again. Do you see a pattern here? Everyone saw it but her. You see the young lady that goes from man to man to man. You see the young man that goes from drug to drug to drug. You see the guy that's a drunk that goes from different type of alcohol to different type of alcohol. You see the drug addicts doing this. You see it. You see it in other people, but you do not see it in yourself. And what you are doing is you are hurting your marriage, your friends, your family members. Yet in your pride, you keep jumping back in, putting the gas pedal to the floor. And you smash your children. And your grandchildren, you smash your co-workers, your neighbors, the other people in the church. It's time to stop driving and give Jesus Christ the car.
and let him fix it? Does he not call for those who are burdened and broken to come to him? You see, the sin that was perpetrated against you is not your fault. However, if you continue to operate your life without finding the healing that is found in Christ, you are going to damage other people. You're going to hurt others, and you're going to continue to hurt yourself. Notice this in Romans 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, what does he speak of? Sufferings. Pain. Okay, life is filled with pain in this fallen, broken world. Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice what he's speaking of. There's suffering, but there is a glory that's revealed in us. Okay, there's a joy. There's a peace that comes from knowing God. Notice it doesn't come from the circumstances. It's something that God does. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding, guards our heart. It's something revealed in us. It is not a change of circumstances. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. You are born in an empty, painful, broken, sinful world. And because of that, pain and suffering is going to happen. You are going to get a disease. You are going to have brokenness in your home. You're going to have a dysfunctional family. Someone you know and love is going to get divorced. Someone you know and love is going to hurt you, stab you in the back. There is going to be abandonment. There's going to be pain. There is going to be suffering. That's part of living in a broken world. There are going to be people who steal from you. There are going to be people who murder your loved ones. There are going to be people who try to hurt you. There are going to be people who do hurt you. That's part of this life, is brokenness and pain. Keep reading. Not willingly. It's not what we would choose for ourselves, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. This is the punishment for our sin, but there is still hope for us. And that hope is that the other person changes. No. The hope is that God just breaks the internet so you don't struggle with porn anymore. No. The internet's not the problem. The hope is that God just smashes that person who hurt us, because if they're dead, I'll feel better. No. Keep reading. Because the creature itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Notice that. There is freedom from all of this. How could Jesus experience the pain that he experienced, yet die with joy and peace? Because the issue is not your circumstances. The issue is not other people and what they do to you. The issue is your soul and its relationship to God. That is the issue. Spurgeon said, "The same sun which melts the wax hardens the clay." The same circumstances that you experience, Christ experienced. And for you, you try to drown out the pain with sin. Jesus found pleasure in God. Please understand, brokenness is a part of this life. There are people who will abuse you, let you down, mistreat you, reject you. But they are not the cause of your sin. The cause of your sin is much deeper. Yes, they may quote-unquote bring it out of you, but it was already there within you. Keep reading. For now the whole creation groans and travails in pain. Yes, you've had painful experiences. That woman I talked about at the beginning, do you not think that her life was racked with pain because of what was done to her? Far more emotional pain than physical pain. Pain so much that she tried to kill herself. Pain so great that she eventually did. But notice verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. Speaks here of the children of God having the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, that we have a foretaste of the glory to come. That we have a peace and a pleasure and a joy that's found in God in this life, waiting for the culmination of it in heaven. Yes, we are longing for that day when we will be delivered from all this pain. But listen,
He speaks here, though, of believers having a completely different perspective. Yes, there is brokenness in this world. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is abuse. But there is healing, and there is victory, and there is liberty, and there is deliverance in Christ. But he only gives it to the broken, humble person, not the person who comes blaming others. Notice Genesis 3:9. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Verse 10, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Where have I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is it you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." From the very beginning of time, guess what mankind has done? Blamed other people. Blamed other people. Listen, your drinking issue is not your wife's fault. The reason you lose your temper is not because of your parents. The reason you're so controlling is not because of your husband or your wife. It's not because of your boss. It's not because of the politicians. The reason you are restless is not because of an ex-boyfriend. It is within your soul. Yes, what they did to you is wrong, and they will answer to God for that. But how you respond is what you will answer to God for. And as long as you keep looking at someone else and not looking square at yourself, there is a pride there that doesn't see you for who you really are. Let me tell you from personal experience. When I began to experience victory and freedom and a major transformation in my life was when I looked in the mirror and said, "Daniel, you are the problem." Could there be a million other circumstances? Yes. But have you ever noticed that people who don't have your circumstances still have your problems? Because the circumstances didn't cause your problems. And have you ever noticed that sometimes when your circumstances change, your problems still persist? Because the circumstances aren't your problem. Sin is your problem. Notice this in Numbers 14. "The Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." Yes, your parents and your upbringing is going to have a profound effect on you, upon your nature, upon your propensity and temptations to sin. That is undeniable. Okay? It is undeniable that abandonment produces certain desires. It is undeniable that abuse produces certain sinful tendencies. I can name of young men who pursue pornography because they were abused, who pursue homosexuality because they were abused and abandoned. I can tell you of young ladies who go from man to man to man because their dad abandoned them. Yeah, we can go through all of that. Yes, there is the sins of the father. Yes, your environment and what you were raised in is going to have a profound effect on you. Except read Jeremiah 31. "In those days," what days? Verse 31 says the day of the new covenant. "They will say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge." In other words, the reason that kid's got crooked teeth is because the dad ate sour food. You say, that's ridiculous. You know what's just as ridiculous? Is the reason that girl dresses immodestly is because she's got daddy issues. The reason that young man is so sexually promiscuous is because his parents got divorced. You know what's just as ridiculous? You blaming your sin on someone else. It's the truth. You can't blame your sin on someone else. Notice what happens in verse 30. I love this. "Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eats the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge." Verse 31. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." What did Jesus Christ come to do in the new covenant? To break the sins of the Father. To deliver you from the nature you inherited. To deliver you from your sin. To deliver you from the brokenness that has been your life. To bring healing, to bring victory, to bring transformation to bring change. However, we and our pride continue to refuse to believe that we are our problem. It's always someone else. It's always someone else's behavior. It's always something else. You know, this is one of the things, this is a big pet peeve of mine, is men that blame their lust on women. That drives me up a wall. That people teach young ladies, you need to dress modestly so men don't lust after you. No, you need to dress modestly out of a respect for your own body and out of a glory for God. And if men lust after you, they're perverts. And men, quit blaming women. Look in the mirror. The church has far too long done exactly what Adam did, and they blame women for men's sexual promiscuity and sex issues. Churches blame. I can tell you of churches, I can show you documented cases where pastors have molested children and they blame the child. Where deacons have gotten teenage girls pregnant and they blame the teenage girl. Your sin is your sin. And Jesus Christ came to deliver you from it. To give you victory. To give you freedom. To change you. To transform you. He came to break those generational sins that have plagued your family for generations. Well, my dad was an alcoholic, my grandfather's an alcoholic, I'm just an alcoholic because it runs in the family. Not if you're born again. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Jesus Christ came to take you out of that family and adopt you into a new family. He came to break your nature and give you a new nature. He came to transform you, to bring you out, and to make you a new person. Notice this. Matthew 9, verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, and they see Jesus eating with pagans, "Why eats your master with publicans and sinners?" Why would a good religious man be eating dinner with prostitutes and thieves, drunks? Why? Doesn't he know that will pervert him and corrupt him? Please understand, people don't corrupt you. People may bring out the corruption that's already within you. Okay, please understand. You know, look, I'm going to speak on Sunday night in a couple weeks about music. That was a question I was asked about music. But please understand, music is not a teenager's problem. The teenager listens to that music because of what's in their heart. Oh, that music causes rebellion! No, rebellious people like that type of music. It's not the, if he hangs around those type of people, the reason he hangs out with them is because he wants to be like them. Please understand that. We have a tendency to blame everyone else. And the Pharisees are like, how can this godly man spend time with all these horrible people? Well, notice Jesus' answer. Jesus heard that, he said to them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Who else is a doctor supposed to spend time with? Don't you think that maybe some of those prostitutes had daddy issues? Don't you think maybe they were abused as a young lady and that's why they chose this path? Don't you think maybe that some of the thieves were raised in poverty and they were raised on the wrong side of the tracks and their dad wasn't home and all those things? Don't you think that there's some circumstances that we would say led to this behavior? We would say that, but Jesus wouldn't. Jesus came to heal them. He came to heal them from their disease. He didn't go and find the prostitutes. Oh, I got to go have a talk with your dad. No. He talked with her. He didn't find the thief and say, "Oh, you know what, we need to change society. Because if the whole of society was changed, then you wouldn't exhibit this sinful behavior anymore." No. Notice what he says. Verse 13, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Righteous people, like the Pharisees, they didn't have any problems, remember? Except the prostitutes. That was their problem. You know, the adulterous woman, she's the problem. Not the man who committed adultery with her. The woman who committed the adultery. She's the one who caused them to stumble, stone her. They didn't have any sin issues. The sin issues was other people caused them problems. It was the Samaritans.
Okay, for the Sadducees, it was the Pharisees were their problem. For the Pharisees, it was the Sadducees were their problem. For them, it was everyone else was the problem. Everyone else was the problem. Everyone else was the problem. And Jesus said, no, I'm coming to people who know they have a problem, and I'm helping them. Jesus comes for the broken. Jesus comes for the hurting. Jesus comes for the sinner to bring them out of it. Notice this, Matthew 12:20. This is probably, if it's okay to have a favorite, this is probably my favorite verse in all the Bible. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he shall not quench. Okay, what it speaks of here is a very, very damaged, worthless piece of grass, piece of reed. And he's not just going to break it and throw away and grab another new one. A smoking flax is the idea of just a small little piece of cotton that no longer has oil in it in the lamp, and you just throw it out and rip another little piece and put it in the lamp. It's worthless. It's already garbage to begin with. There's millions of them. It has no value. You just throw it away and grab a new one. Notice Jesus does not throw away broken people. Jesus does not throw away what our society says has no value. Jesus does not throw away. What our society looks on as damaged goods, Jesus does not throw away. What our society looks at and says, you know what? Your life is not worth living. Go ahead. We'll euthanize you. All the pain, suffering you've been in, the best thing that happened for you is you just to commit suicide and die. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus takes the broken, the worthless, the downtrodden, the abused, the neglected, and he heals that. Notice what he says, till he brings, send forth judgment to victory. There is victory from all that you have experienced in Christ. There is freedom from all the sin that you are using to try to drown out the pain that has been your life. And that victory is Christ. Jesus doesn't come to give you another way to drown out the pain. He came to heal the pain. He came to bring victory to the suffering and the brokenness that has been your life. The issue is that you won't come. You just blame others. While many people find victory, you stay outside because your pride says, it's not me. It's not me. It's something else. It's someone else. Someone else needs to change. But if you come to Christ with your broken life, he will heal you. If you come to Christ with all your pain and your suffering, he will heal you. I heard a story of another young lady. Told you all this story before. She was a pastor's daughter. She was pure, dressed modestly, all of those things. In her late teenage years, she too was raped. Because of the trauma that she'd experienced, it really turned her world upside down. And she began to believe that her only value was to be used and abused by men. So she went into pornography. Pastor's daughter. She went to pornography and was in pornography for many years, allowing men to use and abuse her. And instead of letting it cycle all the way down like the other young lady who committed suicide, she turned to Christ for healing. And he healed her of all that she had experienced, and he delivered her from the sin that she was engaging in to try to drown it. He transformed her. He changed her. Notice this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Listen, everyone has a past. Everyone has. Your past may be riddled with pain, suffering, brokenness, abuse, abandonment, neglect, hurt, sin upon sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. And Jesus Christ offers to make you new. To forgive you, to heal you, to change you, to transform you, to give you a new life. For you are no longer defined by what others have done to you. You are no longer defined from what you have done, but you are now defined by him and what he has done. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus Christ wants to change you. And the thing that stands in your way is you. Your pride. Well, I'm already a Christian, and
the reason you still see those patterns of sin is your pride. Because you're still playing the blame game. You're still making excuses. And you will continue to sin in the same manner over and over and over and over again until you say, it's me. And I can't blame what others have done to me. I can't blame the way I was raised. I can't blame other people. I can't blame my circumstances. I can't blame my health. I need Jesus for myself. And all that come to him, he will not cast out one. So the application here is very, very simple. Would you humble yourself, quit blaming others, acknowledge your need of Christ, and come to him? Quit dragging other people before him every time you pray. Well, you may not do it verbally, but you sure do it in the back of your mind. Lord, I'm sorry for this thing that I did, but I wouldn't have done if so-and-so hadn't done that thing first. Would you come to Christ yourself? Come with all your brokenness, all your bruises, all your pain, all your sin, all your past, and would you give it to him and allow him to forgive you, to cleanse you, to heal you, to make you new? Please don't keep driving a wrecked car. You can keep saying, everybody else keeps pulling in front of me. No, your damaged car keeps pulling in front of them. There's two ways to look at every accident. Would you give your life to the Lord? If you're a Christian, please understand, there are hurting people around us. Especially as our society spirals out of control, the broken homes and the abuse that the young men, young ladies of my generation have experienced is severe. And you need to have the compassion of Christ to go with them and tell them how Christ can heal them, how he can forgive them, how he can change them the way he has changed you. You know, the days of people being raised in whole homes is pretty much gone in our country. And we are trying to change that, obviously, within our churches. But in our evangelism, we need to realize that the people outside of the church have no idea what a normal home looks like. And we, like Christ, need to have compassion on sinners. We need to have compassion. We have found healing, and we must bring it to them. We must tell them the good news, that they are no longer defined by their past, that they don't have to go and commit suicide to drown out the pain. But there is one who loves them, who sent his only son to die on the cross, who was raised from the dead, and offers a new life to everyone who will humble themselves and come to him. This is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. May we relish it. Amen.